Good morning again. Go ahead and turn to Proverbs chapter 4. Proverbs chapter 4 is where we are going to be this morning. But before we dive into this passage, let's go afresh to the Lord in prayer. Father God, we come confessing afresh our absolute need for you. Lord, may what we just sung be true, not just in the global sense when we ponder and think and we long for your word to go out to all and every nation and tongue and people group, with you drawing your children who hear your voice to you as their shepherd. But Lord, I ask as those who are your children that you have brought from death to life, from blindness to seeing, from deafness to hearing. Father, would we say in our own hearts, Lord, let your kingdom come. Father, remove us from the facade of our own thrones of our hearts. And would you put us back in proper place, worshiping at the feet of Jesus Christ. And so, Lord, I ask with that in mind, afresh for my own soul, would you get me out of the way? Lord, if I was pursuing and banking on my own ability or strength as if I must build some kingdom, it will surely fall because it would be built on sand. But, oh Father, as the rock, would you come do what you promised you will do and build your church? And would you do so in the reality as we ask again that you would get us all out of the way this morning? Would you remove distractions and intentions and desires that thwart our ability to see your worth afresh? But praise be to God, as we even saw this morning in Sunday school and are reminded through your word, your plan will not be thwarted. So I ask this morning, Father, that you would graciously set our gaze upon you, that we may behold afresh the person and work of Jesus Christ. And we ask that in this hour, you would make much of yourself. And we ask it in the name of Christ, we pray. Amen. Well, as always, it is a joy to be back with the body of Springs of Life to study the Scriptures together. As I mentioned last week, today we will be doing a standalone message. And next week, we hope to dive into our next series through a book of Scripture. That is still the plan, but I'll ask for prayers like I did last week for the Lord to reveal what that book ought to be, because He still has not yet done so. As of today, we'll trust the Spirit to make that clear before next week. We hope. But until then, God did lead what today's message ought to be. And it has everything to do with the future of the church. And you will see why I say that in a few moments. But the backstory to this message was that in my own personal study a few weeks ago, I read a theologian from the past speak on a verse from Proverbs chapter 4. And as I examined this passage on my own, I thought it was full of needed reminders for us as a body. So look with me at Proverbs chapter 4, and we'll be starting in verse 20. But we need to know the context of this chapter. Like all of Proverbs, this is a section where a father is pleading and passing along wisdom to his son. This is what we see in verse 1 and 2. So look with me in Proverbs chapter 4, starting in verse 1 and 2. Hear, O sons, a father's instruction, and be attentive that you may gain insight. For I give you good precepts. Do not forsake my teaching. We see this plea emphasized again in verses 10 and 11. Look at verse 10. Hear, my son, and accept my words. that the years of your life may be many. I have taught you the way of wisdom. I have led you in the paths of uprightness. Do you see the desire of this Father? Now, this is not the main concept we will focus on, but we cannot gloss over it. Men, specifically fathers, grandfathers of Springs of Life, what are you wanting to teach your kids most? In our day and age, there is so much pressure to make sure our children are in all the right activities, all the right leagues, all the right extracurricular groups, all the right school classes. But parents, especially dads, do you see the pleas of this Father in Proverbs 4 verse 10? I have taught you the way of wisdom. I have led you in the paths of uprightness. I want to preface this statement I'm about to quote with the fact that it's about to come. I'm about to up here as a man. You are looking at a man who loved playing sports. I played baseball from 6 years old all the way through high school, traveling teams, AAU squads. But as much as I loved and still love sports, at the age of 15, I was awakened to a greater love, Jesus Christ. And with that, I so believe and echo the words of Vodi Bakum, who says, if I teach my child to keep their eye on the ball, but fail to teach them to keep their eyes on Christ, I have failed as a father. And you see, this call for all of us to fix our eyes on Christ is what our section of Proverbs chapter 4 is all about. But you will quickly notice the vision is not primarily physical, but spiritual, specifically of the heart. And as I said, it isn't just a call for dads and sons, but for all of us in the body of Christ. And those will be a specific, and there will be a specific application that is close to home for us in this particular body. So look with me in verses 20 and 21 of Proverbs chapter 4. The author writes, my son, be attentive to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Let them not escape from your sight. Keep them within your heart. So the author tells his son, his audience, as well as us today, to be attentive to his words and to incline our ears to what is being said. He then says, don't let them escape your sight. So he's mentioned attentiveness through ears and eyes, but we then see what he and what we ought to really be aiming for. The end of verse 21. He says, keep them within your heart. Beloved, don't you see that it doesn't matter what we ponder, what we read, who we listen to, unless it takes root within our hearts. The heart is the center of one's being. Not the physical one that gives us blood, but the center of our attention, our allegiances, and our affection is what the author means here by the heart. Our actions and reactions flow from the affections of our heart. This is why David in Psalm 119 verse 11 stated, I have stored up your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. David didn't say, I stored up your word solely on my bookshelf. Or he doesn't say that I've held it in my hands. Or he doesn't say that I've read it with my eyes. Or he doesn't say that he's even filled his thoughts and his mind with the Word of God. No. The Word moving from shelf to hands to eyes to mind is to fill our hearts so that our affections fuel pursuits that glorify our treasure, Jesus Christ. The author of Proverbs 4 then again points to why it matters what we set our hearts to. Look at verse 22. Verse 22 with me. For they are life to those who find them, and healing to all their flesh. So he says that they, the words, the instruction, and the truth of God we are to take to heart are life to those who find them and healing to their flesh. He begins to make the connection of where life and what we set our heart towards is intermingled with. And this comes to the crucial verse of this section, verse 23. Keep your heart with all vigilance, for from it flow the springs of life. Beloved, don't you see this author tells us we must be vigilant. We must be on guard to protect and examine our hearts. Why? Because whatever we fill our heart with, set our affections on, doesn't remain there. It flows out as the spring to which we believe is most worth living for. We all understand this at the core of our being. We don't run after, pursue, seek the things, the people, the activities that we think make our life worth living because of some sense of obligation. We do so because the affections of our heart drive us there. And this is why we must be vigilant to keep watch over the state of our hearts and what we are loving on a regular basis. But don't you also see, beloved, that because of the wording of this verse, there is a unique application for us among this very body. And this is why I was led to examine this text this morning. Look at the wording again. Keep your heart with all vigilance, for from it flow the springs of life. For us, as the body of Christ, who took our name from passages with similar language to this, I believe this text has truth we need to examine. Let's be honest. It's been a season among our body in recent days where one could ask or be tempted to worry about the future of springs of life. Specifically, all the physical struggles among many in our precious body and among the saints of God's people. And even more specific, the health issues that have come among our under-shepherds, the elders of springs of life. You could be tempted to ponder, where might our body, springs of life, be flowing? Where might we go in the future? Well, I certainly don't know all the specifics, or could I ever give certainty to our direction? I mean, I'm still praying about what scripture passage we're diving into next week. But one thing I am certain of, the flow, if you would, of Springs of Life Bible Church will be directly connected to our hearts. Meaning, the only way to properly pray for the future of our precious body is to pray the Lord would, yes, grant this for the heart of the elders and any future elders of Springs of Life, but also the heart of our body as a whole. And this is actually one of the glorious and weighty tasks we pursue together every time we gather, especially during this time, our corporate worship gatherings. We are longing for the Lord to fix our hearts, our affections afresh, away from the things of the world, and back towards Him and all that He is for us in Jesus Christ. This is a time we long to fill our hearts with His Word that we may not sin against Him and that we may run to Him for life again and again and again. And this plea is what we see in verse 24. Look at verse 24. Put away from you crooked speech and devious talk far from you. So the author says to put crooked speech away and devious talk far from you. Yes, this means what we say. Because what comes off our lips, as Matthew 15:18 says, flows from our hearts. But it also means this talk of crooked speech as well as devious talk also means the speech and talk we allow to fill our hearts in the first place. Beloved, real question this morning. In your daily life, what percentage of talk or speech you hear stirs your heart to treasure Jesus Christ? Or does most of it seek for you to treasure the things of the world more? Would you say that your heart is prone to the devious talk and crooked speech of the world rather than the Word made flesh, Jesus Christ? Don't allow the crooked and devious voices of the world to take root in your heart. But instead, pursue the plea of verse 25 to 27. Look at verse 25 of Proverbs 4. Let your eyes look directly forward, and your gaze be straight before you. Ponder the path of your feet. Then all your ways will be sure. Do not swerve to the right or to the left. Turn your foot away from evil. Beloved, look with the eyes of your heart where your gaze ought to be. Look to Christ. This is the thought of the author of Hebrews chapter 12. Verse 1 and 2, where he says, let us also lay aside the weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race set before us, looking to Jesus. Setting your eyes directly forward to the founder and perfecter of your faith. And beloved, this is what we need to heed from the author of Proverbs. Examine our hearts and confess that we are prone to go to our right or to our left. May we long for hearts full of affection for our Savior that stirs us to worship Him anew. How do we actually and practically keep our hearts with vigilance? Well, I read this week a strategy that I thought was helpful. And it has to do with the fact that we need to pray for our own prone hearts that are quick to turn and wander. Listen to how the author, John Bloom, expresses it. I've actually included this. This is what's in your handout. I've included a handout for you that you can fill out. I would challenge you to fill it out, keep it in your Bible, and pray these things on a regular basis. But in this article, John Bloom, he wrote an article entitled Seven Ways to Pray for Your Heart. He says this, "Over the years, as I've prayed for my own heart, I've accumulated seven D's, quote-unquote, that I have found helpful. Maybe you'll find them helpful as well. With seven, you can use them in a number of ways. You might choose one D per day, or you could choose one D as a theme for a week and pray through these every 7 days. You'll also note that I have a verse for each prayer. But over time, as you pray, more verses will come to mind, and you might find it helpful to collect them and see they are right, and so they are right at hand as the Spirit leads. I begin each prayer with this phrase, whatever it takes, Lord. Because the Bible teaches us to be bold and wholehearted in our praying, not reticent. I also use the phrase because it tests my own heart. How much do I want God and all He promises to be for me in Jesus? Do I really want true joy enough to ask for my Father's loving discipline to wean me from the joy-stealing sin I may be pursuing? And how much do I trust Him? Do I really believe that He will only give me what is good when I ask in faith?" Luke 11:11-13. Beginning with whatever it takes helps me press toward and express childlike trust in the Father. So the first D, delight. Delight. Whatever it takes, Lord, give me delight in You as the greatest treasure of my heart. Delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart, Psalm 37:4. For where your treasure is, there your heart is also, Matthew 6:21. Number two, desires. Whatever it takes, Lord, align the desires of my heart with Yours. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be Your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Matthew 6:9-10. Number three, dependence. Whatever it takes, Lord, increase my awareness of my dependence on You in everything so that I will live continually by faith. John 15:5. I am the vine, You are the branches. Whoever abides in Me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from Me, you can do nothing. Number four, discernment. Whatever it takes, Lord, teach me to discern good from evil through the righteous exercise of constant practice. Hebrews 5:14. But solid food is for the mature, for those who have their powers of discernment trained by constant practice to distinguish good from evil. Number five, desperation. Whatever it takes, Lord, keep me desperate for You because I tend to wander when I stop feeling my need for You. Psalm 119:67. I love this verse, even as it sounds somewhat strange to our ears. Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now I keep Your word. Affliction is one of the tools that keep us desperate for Him. Number six, discipline. Whatever it takes, Lord, discipline me for my good, so that I may share Your holiness and bear the peaceful fruit of righteousness. Hebrews 12:10-11. He disciplines us for our good, that we may share His holiness. For the moment, all discipline seems painful rather than pleasant, but later it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. finally, diligence. Diligence. Whatever it takes, Lord, increase my resolve to do Your will with all diligence. Ephesians 5:15-16. Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time because the days are evil. These are just suggestions. God may lead you to pray in other ways, but however He teaches us, whatever means we find helpful, may God cause us all to grow in faith until we pray without ceasing and never lose heart, and I would add, to keep our heart with all vigilance. Beloved, whether this is a tool you use or not, may the Spirit stir you afresh to the reality of the importance of examining your heart. Why? Well, as we've seen, it is full of danger left to ourselves. Famously, look at Jeremiah chapter 17 with me. Jeremiah chapter 17, starting in verse 9. Jeremiah tells us this famous text. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately sick. Who can understand it? And because of this, we get a similar warning on the front end of this declaration. So before Jeremiah tells us about the sickness and the deceitfulness of our hearts, that we need to ask God to examine. Look at what He says in verse 5 and 6 of this chapter, chapter 17, starting in verse 5. Thus says the Lord, cursed is the man who trusts in man and makes flesh his strength, whose heart, catch that, whose heart turns away from the Lord. He is like a shrub in the desert, and shall not see any good come. He shall dwell in the parched places of the wilderness, in an uninhabitable salt land. If our hearts are not focused on the Lord, we will feel absolutely dried up. But look at what happens when we set our gaze and trust on the Lord. Verse 7 through 8. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose trust is the Lord. He is like a tree planted by water that sends out its roots by the stream and does not fear when heat comes. For its leaves remain green and is not anxious in the year of drought, for it does not cease to bear fruit. So in seasons of plenty or seasons of struggle, those deeply rooted with heart-filled trust in the Lord won't fear or won't cease bearing fruit because their hearts are saturated with Him. And the way this rooted saturation comes about is by remembering the throne and object of our worship. Look at verse 12 and 13. A glorious throne set on high from the beginning is the place of our sanctuary. O Lord, the hope of Israel, all who forsake You shall be put to shame. Those who turn away from You shall be written in the earth, for they have forsaken the Lord, the fountain of living water. Oh, church, don't you see that if we want true life to well up within us individually and flow properly as the body of springs of life, Bible Church, we must fix our eyes on and run with thirsty souls to the only true fountain of living water there is. The one sitting on His throne, the only hope of His people, Jesus Christ our Lord. To anyone here this morning, lost, you do not know Christ, may I plead with you to see that apart from Christ, you have no hope and your heart can't flow to life because it's dead. Repent and turn to the Lord in faith and belief, and may He in that moment well up the spring of life. To the believer here today, can I plead with all of us, like the father of Proverbs to his son, keep our hearts focused on our treasure, Jesus Christ. And may we rest knowing that this Christ will glorify His name among His people by filling our hearts with affection for Him. May I say again, springs of life, not only collectively, but individually, as you examine and ponder where your heart may be flowing or where the direction of your soul and life is going, can I promise you and plead afresh, it cannot be separated from what your heart is loving. So can I plead with you what I, by God's grace, in light of studying this text, have been brought to be pleading all this week. God, would you examine our hearts as a body? May you grow us in deeper affection with you. May we run to the fountain of living water. And God, may it start in me. I don't know where you are this morning. Maybe right now the Lord is answering the prayer that you began this service with. He right now in this moment has examined your heart and awakened afresh. This is what you're running to for life. You may even be His child. But even in that, you have turned to the right or to the left. Can I plead with you, beloved body? Fix your eyes straight. Look to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. And praise be to God, when we waver and we do, He lovingly pushes us back to focus on Him. And also, praise be to God, He smacks us back on the right path to look at Him in loving discipline if need be. Because He will not share His glory with another. And may our longing be to be a people who say afresh, that's what we long as well. We long for you, Lord, to be made much of among us. Let's pray. Father, would you, by your mercy, continue to examine our hearts? May our hearts be filled with affection. May we be vigilant to examine and keep our heart, because from it is where we run to thinking life is found. The object of our affection is the being that in that moment we are worshiping. So Father, I pray that you would make us a body who we confess it has been a season that for some on the physical realm feels like a drought. It feels like heat has come upon us. Oh, but praise be to God, not only individually, but collectively as the body of Springs of Life, you have promised that by your mercy, when you see fit to bring us afresh to fix our hearts on you, you will plant us deeply into a well that has no end. And so let us not be fearful of seasons that may come across like a drought, for the circumstances are not the well we run to, but there is a fountain of living water that will never run dry. And so God, I ask and pray that you, who is that fountain, would be the spring that we as Springs of Life run to display to the world and those around us the worth of Jesus Christ. Father, would you be merciful to us? Would you give us eyes to see, hearts filled with affection, and as we began this service this morning, would you restore within us, renew within us, the joy of your salvation. And we ask it in the name of Christ, we pray. Amen.